want to say in a particular passage, where a paragraph may go very long and say a whole bunch of different things. A passage does not usually do that.
So a passage is kind of like a moment in my life.
That's right. Or a phase or a period of your life.
And then that non-time could be a passage, or a non could be a pericope.
And it gets you to thinking in a way. You think that, if we go back, you think of your life that this happened, then that happened, then this happened, and something else, or this caused that, and etc. And you put it into a sequence that you remember that it occurred. What if life doesn't occur in that kind of a sequence?
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying. Yeah. That there is a...
But we...
Event.
And... Each event is restructurable. Is that okay?
And holy. Yeah, I don't know what you mean by restructurable.
Well, when you lived it, let's say because of time, you lived it past, present, and future. I'm doing this now. I did this yesterday, and I'm going to do this tomorrow. Is that okay?
Yeah, I understand that.
But in memory, that may not be true at all. And in fact is that mixing them up may be more important to you than in the order in which they live. You think you lived them. What if you were not living them in that order?
In the order that we remember them?
Yeah. Or maybe you... were when you remember them in slightly out of order, maybe in fact you live those in that order without realizing it.
I don't get the point.
I think I'm getting to that, yeah.
In a dream, can you not screw around with time in a dream? Then does that
all
mean
the time.
That's right, you do. Well, maybe that's more true about yourself and life than the past, present, and future that you're living. Maybe the dream is truer than your life today. What does that mean? I'm looking at a frown across the table here. So what?
Yeah. I don't get the point.
The point is that cause and effect just went to hell.
Because...
And you're trying to cause or create or find a way to get from here to there. What if... And you're stuck not moving in time in your life. There's a whole lot of so what.
So you're saying that because we, or the way that we remember past, present, and future, or the way that we order things...
Who says you lived it that way?
...is us trying to see like a cause and effect of a going somewhere.
You try to force it back into a system that you're familiar with. Maybe that's not... Who says you ever lived it that way?
So yesterday could have been today, or... What are you saying?
Are you saying your life is not like a videotape?
What?
Are you saying life is not like a videotape? That if you videotaped your life and you were asked to remember What was on that videotape that you would remember it in a different order?
Oh, you always do remember it in a different order.
And that
mother wrote 40 pages or something like that of her life, a history of us together. I'll guarantee you that she was living things a whole lot different than I was, because I didn't live that order of things at all. And what if, in fact, that's really what's going on? What if you're living a different pattern than Aaron?
I know that's the
case. Huh? Well, you see, we ended that. Does anybody want to deal with this for just a moment? We're waiting for...
Yeah, please, this is interesting.
Did you get the mic working?
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, so we on?
Yes.
Oh, we're on. So, okay. We're on.
There's a reason for that. Now, wherever you started to go, Pat, go.
I'm trying to knit together from my own experience how that actually functions. And are you suggesting then that there may be a string of events that I've run in a straight arrow forward arrow of time sequence in and try to force it into that, but in fact I pick up an event 10 a.m. this morning and link that to an event 4 days ago, and I actually live as if they're together?
Yeah. That's one possibility. Have you ever watched TV interviews of first and second graders, and they're talking to whoever's interviewing them, and you say, God damn, that kid must at least be 65 or 70. It makes some wise statement. Now, what if that's in fact going on? What if it is not a six-year-old or a seven-year-old, but what if in mind time that kid is 60 or 70?
Had not considered that ever.
The other thing I wanted to, that Ken and I were talking about, and then it came up the other day. What does forever living mean to you? Anybody? I don't want you to get into the technicalities of forever living. What does the name forever living seem to say to you?
Life without end.
Patrick, you want to say something?
Yeah, it's quite literal. We live forever.
Eternal.
Well, none of that happens to be true, by the way, but that's okay. I've tried to... forever has a synonym called eternal. Eternal is reoccurring, cannot forever be recurring.
Yep.
Okay.
And you didn't ask who I meant lives forever.
Okay. But forever doesn't mean immortal any more than eternal can mean immortal. Is this correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But you don't go there. You say forever, and you really, really, really underneath it all mean immortal. Forever living has nothing to do with your daily life. Screw it. Is that okay?
Sure.
What we're talking about has very little to do with your behaviors today or what's going on in your life today. It is a way for you to see, let's call it, life beyond today. it isn't going to heal you. It's not going to fix you. It's not going to change you. It is a way of life. If you live this, you're not living the old ways, and you come back and say, well, okay, then I have changed. Yeah, but what you do when you mean change, heal, fix, repair, all of that kind of stuff, you mean I live as I am, and I fix my bod, or my fix my attitudes, and etc. That's not what forever living is all about. Forever living is a long, eternal view of yourself. Now, if you don't want that, don't ever call in again on Monday. Is that okay? I'm not threatening everybody. I'm just trying to get it across somehow that people are trying to use, think that forever living is some kind of a fixer, a changer, a healer. And if it doesn't fix them and change them and heal them, wait a minute. If you got into a problem, how did you get there? You lived your way into the problem. Even if you had an automobile accident downtown, and I've been in 25 major automobile accidents and rolled 3 cars, so I'll guarantee you, they ain't accidental. You lived yourself into the problem, and you can only live yourself out of the problem. Meaning, you got cancer, how'd you get there? You lived it all your life. You've been living it some way, or for a long period of time anyway. And so you now have to then, regardless of what the doctor may do, he relieves your symptoms. Now go live anew. Is that okay for you, Patrick?
Yes, and Rob, no, probably no. That when you move from, it's not a fixer, it's not, doesn't change your life, it's not that, and then you move to a model around cancer, living anew, isn't there a hope I'm going to fix something here?
Isn't there a what? No, you wait. You see, you didn't take the first part and understand it, and what you did is maintain your present construct and say, well, then what the hell good is forever living? It ain't fixing my construct. I'm saying, wait a minute, forever living is a way of life so that, in a sense, alters your construct. Doesn't heal your body, but it entirely alters your construct, your long view of yourself.
And whether or not I continue to have cancer symptoms will only be an indicator of whether or not I've actually changed my construct.
In a sense, yeah. So, if you want to continue, my question is, do you want a long view of yourself in life?
And I guess you ask that question, then issues like cancer, heart conditions, or whatever are more or less irrelevant. It's whether or not I want to live a long view of my life.
No, let's take cancer for a moment and just take that. That's cancer's beliefs out of control. Could it be that you have a long view of yourself, but embodied, living with the language and life today, it keeps you focused on the short view of yourself? And the cancer is the struggle between the long view that you have or sense but can't bring out, and the short view that you're living.
Okay, that cancer is what becomes evident through that conflict.
Now,
is that?
That's right. Or I think that this is true. One way or another, it shows the extent. I mean, illnesses can show that extent, but cancer can be a long developing conflict of beliefs out of control. And that means, let's say, wait a minute, I sense myself from a long view, and yet I'm living from a short perspective, or trying to struggle with a short perspective, or trying to extend my short perspective into the long view. Ain't going to happen.
Okay. That's the condition, start point that we're talking about.
I didn't hear you, Ed.
No, that's so that you described the condition of someone who has only now become introduced to forever living.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about Patrick, who still has a short view of himself.
Okay, but that's a starting point to then say forever living is something different than that.
I don't understand where this conversation is. Does anybody else?
Okay. Then could you just maybe move on? I'll catch up.
No, I don't want to move on and you catch up. If you don't understand it, or maybe you do and I don't understand what you're talking about here, I don't want to move on away from that, because you're not unique. You're going to represent a lot of other people in the same way. I don't hear anybody jumping in there and say, yeah, I understand it. What the hell are you talking about? I've always known that. No, everybody thinks it is a new behavior pattern or thinking pattern that's going to change your life today. What if that's not true? Then everybody's going to hang up and say, well, what the hell do we need him for? And that may have been true a long time ago. So I'm asking you then, look, the name of Pericope 14A that I sent to everybody is preparing for awakening your eternal self actively in your life. What is your eternal self? That's your long view actively in your life today. It doesn't mean that you're preparing to awaken the correct image of yourself that God will accept eternally to give you a long life. Are you willing to look at your life from a long view rather than a short view?
Yes.
Now, Jennifer says yes. Patrick, are you... What?
And I said, I'll say yes.
Okay, you'll say yes. Let me ask you the question here. Are you willing to live yourself absent goals?
There's something extraordinarily attractive about that, so I'm going to say yes.
But you really won't do that, will you?
What do you mean?
Goals, consequences of actions, things that you want, and thus therefore then you adjust your behaviors to try to cause them or get yourself to that goal. Would you be willing to live yourself so completely afresh and anew that, and I'm being a little bit facetious here, that goals are of no consequence?
Got a question. We have a young dog that, if we're out for a walk, could possibly take off if she sees a deer and keep on running until she's absolutely fatigued. We need to train her to respond to a call to return and overcome her desire to chase the deer. That's a really simple thing. That's a goal. Are you suggesting we abandon that, or is there another way of living that without it being a goal?
If you'll do me one favor and adjust as a beginning point, adjust your question, not relative to dog, but relative to Pat. I asked you, are you willing to live absent goals? And you changed the subject to goals accomplished of and for and about the dog. Talk to me about Patrick.
It's my goal. I want to maintain the safety of my dog.
Then you don't have to do those things. Are you willing to have the dog and not maintain that goal?
I don't think I know what that means.
Well, I'm being a little evasive because Ken is sitting next to me. And almost anything I'm going to say, he's going to make it 100th monkey illustration. But what is that when you say you want to do, the goal is you want the goal for the dog to do something. Is that what you say?
Yeah, I'd like the dog to respond to a call to return.
Okay. Can I get, and this is language structure, can I get you to focus back on Pat? What does Pat want for Pat? If you said you would live absent goals, I'm talking about you. Don't discuss dog for a moment.
Okay. I don't want to lose my dog.
Don't talk about the dog. You don't want to lose Patrick. You want to start there?
Okay. I don't want to lose this expression of myself that I attached myself to.
Now we're a little better here, even if you then say the expression is dog or the expression is Patrick. But you've set a goal in that. Are you willing to live even absent that goal?
The more I think about it, the more I can see that regardless of the dog, I've created some kind of emotional thing that I value, and I don't want to deal with a loss.
But the thing that you have created is Patrick, and you assume a loss, and you don't want to lose Patrick, is what we're really talking about. It has nothing really to do with the dog.
No, I don't want to lose that expression of me.
No, you don't want to lose Patrick.
Let's talk about that some more, because I'm not sure I understand that. I don't want to lose Patrick.
Well, talk at me.
Well, I'm trying to think, you know, that I've had dogs as living companions one way or another for most of my life, and I know I grieve quite intensely when one of my companions passes on.
You grieve with the very thought that Patrick might pass on.
Is that what that's about? So the whole notion of passing on is what my objective is about.
Well, we've taken it. That is not everything that it's about, but that's why we've taken it there. There's a in other words, I don't really know, and Ken and I were discussing this when you guys were on the wrong channel. Well, it couldn't have been us.
When we were on different channels.
I don't know where we were. Well, we were wondering if anybody was going to be here tonight. And we were discussing this whole thing. In that what Forever Living is about is the eternalness of yourself, and yet everybody sets goals. I want this, or I'm going to do that. Why should I change? What do I accept? I'm going to gain this goal. And Forever Living is about your eternal self. So this is an appropriate discussion. I didn't think I had to get into this in this regard, but are you willing to live as an eternal self, to make that a part of your active life?
Well, that when you ask that question, I'd like to be able to say yes, but then I have an incomplete picture of what it might be relative to things that I think that I value in my life.
What if the things that you value in your life, and boy, I really, really, really hate this word, but I'm going to use it anyway. What if all the things you value in your life only symbolize something, but are not in the same way as in a dream? And I don't like to use dream symbols. The word is improper for me, but I'm using it here to see if we can get across. If we say the dream symbolizes something about you, is it possible that everything in your life, dog or whatever, merely symbolizes and portrays to you and to others yourself as an eternal being?
I get kind of a hint of that I think I know what you're talking about.
Then is it possible that the sense of that is not good enough, that you really want the reality of that, but you don't make that sense of that strong enough, let's call it, to compete with your everyday life?
Okay, I think I got a sense of that. Yeah.
I have a question.
Here comes a question.
What do you call the thing that you... the thing that you can't finish in this lifetime, the thing that you do?
What do I call it?
Yeah, not a goal, then it's something else you call it.
Did everybody hear the... Could you hear the question, Patrick?
Yeah, what do you call that which you cannot complete in a lifetime? It's not a goal, what is it?
If you can't complete it in a lifetime, is it a goal?
No, it's a declaration of what I do.
Then it's not a goal. You can't cause it, you can't get it, you can't have it, etc.
But it's something you work towards, and that's what I think of a goal.
A goal But you
do you have another word for that?
No, I don't have a word for that. That's what I'm trying to explain. What? Well, I know it's a declaration, and et cetera, but I don't fully like it applied that way. And the reason for that is because if I give it a word, then it's like the word becomes the goal that you're working toward. See the problem? Would you?
How about pondering, could I live without goals? What would my life be with life without goals?
Okay. Here's what I'm talking about. Your only goal in life, and I'm really stretching it when I use that word right there. Your only goal in life is death.
Weird.
What?
That's weird.
That's rude.
Weird.
Weird.
But isn't that really true?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you see this life ending up. What other goal than death are you in fact living? You understand that, Patrick?
Yeah, I want to live forever.
Is it possible then that when you say, I want to live forever, that you have to structure that in a way that there are no goals, that there is not a goal? I'm going to give you goals back in a minute.
Yeah. Well, could you say that I want to live other than a life that's goal is to die? Something parallel to, something other than. It's not included in that in any way, shape, or form.
Could you find a way of life that you would willing to say, this is the way of life I would live forever?
That does not include.
This is a way of life. This is what the privileged being was set up. That you make the declaration of how you would live eternally. Is that all right for you, Patrick? Could you conceive of a way of life that you'd be willing to live eternally?
Yes.
When I ask you, or answering Jennifer's question, what do I mean when I say something you would do? I'm talking about not the thing, but this is the way I would live eternally. And it can't be I would seek peace, etc., because I'm talking about a real way or thing in which you would live forever. Do you understand that?
Yeah, that there is no conceivable end to it.
There's no conceivable end to it. And you're living then only in a way. Is that okay?
Yes.
And you would say then in that regard that there is no conceivable outcome or goal in living in that way.
I can see that, yes.
Okay. Now, the question is this. If you always lived in that way, could you set goals along the way, like signposts of always living that way, but they would not be goals as such. They're just showing you the way in which you're living from different perspectives.
Yeah, now that's starting to make sense to me. I can visualize that.
And this is the nature of the question, is like a privileged being, a declaration that, which Ms. M is going to tell me when we're in bed tonight, I told you it was a declaration. Well, yeah, you're right. I was just afraid to open it up that way at that time. We okay?
Say again the signpost thing.
What?
Say again about the signposts along the way.
If you're only living in a certain way, and let's say I can clearly say that in discovering how the universe works and showing others, I get a very clear picture of what I'm doing, but it's only the way in which I do everything that I do. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that then if I set a goal for Monday night, that's only a little signpost along the way. It is not a goal of my life to attain to. It's just a show me along the way the nature of the way in which I'm living.
That you set.
That I set.
I call reference points.
You
what? The reference points.
That's just a reference point along the way.
It has no particular.
So whether you hold a gathering, or write a pericope, or prepare for Monday night, they are all just signposts along the way, showing you how you are actually living who you are.
And they may be no more important than a big accident or a person, etc. All of those things, as well as an accident, an illness, or a person, or an event in my life, is merely in that, merely only a signpost along the way. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's okay.
Because I have an overriding way in which I am living my life.
Meaning that no matter what happens on Monday night, it's
does what happens on Monday night matter? Nothing can matter in that regard if this is the way I'm living my life. Do you understand that, Patrick?
Yeah, I was going to say no, nothing matters, but I was going to leave some airtime for somebody else. No, because if it mattered, you would have set objectives to try to meet.
That's right. You've imploded the minute something matters in and of that ilk. If you're living in a certain way, is there a way to see yourself living in a certain way?
Did you just ask, if you're living in a certain way, is there a way to see how you're living in a certain way?
That's what I asked. That's exactly what I asked.
I would think then the signposts are whatever they are, whether it's the car accident or the people you're talking to or Monday night in the illustration of you, they all reveal how you're living your life. Is that
That's not what I asked you.
You said, is it possible? Yes, possible.
Now you just hanging on to the word possible and just avoid the whole discussion. You change the subject of the question.
I don't know, then. I can't think of anything particular to say, then.
I mean, this. Remember, this is your language that we're struggling with. We're not struggling with the concept at all, but we don't realize that. I said, is there a way for you to see your living in that way? And you said yes. And then expanded on that the signposts show you to the way you're living. Is there a difference in those two, my question and your response? The signpost I'm talking about is you're living in a certain way, and the signposts show you about that way. You change it to the way in which you're living. The presumption being, I ain't living the way I started in the first place, but it's judging me, telling me I'm doing it right, wrong, different, or other.
Okay, I saw it as a checkpoint, not as a signpoint. And I think there's a difference.
But I'll bet you, you really, really, while you think about it and somebody's caught it, would say that as a checkpoint now, but you really mean, well, that's show you how you're living your life.
No, I mean checkpoint, meaning that I'm actually checking rather than revealing.
You sure you're going to mean that? That's okay. And you're going to stay there with it's only a checkpoint of how you're living the way you have decided eternally to be. Is that okay? Hey, great. That's wonderful.
Well, that's what I meant. Do I get around to that all the time? Not necessarily so.
Maybe. If that's what you really, really, really meant, you can't not get away from that. Then what? Maybe the signpost only refers to the way thou hast chosen.
There was somehow a little bit of fuzz that came through in the satellite. Maybe the signpost what?
Only shows how thou hast chosen.
Ah, yes. Always, in every instant.
But the presumption
no
is
what
you have chosen and it isn't... It isn't then showing you right, wrong, good, bad, or anything of that ilk. Is this okay?
Well, that's right. It only shows as I have chosen, no matter what I think I have chosen, right?
But let's assume that. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. Yes, perfectly okay.
Then what does the dog show to you as a signpost along the way of the self and life you have chosen?
I've chosen to be quite corporal.
Quite what?
Begin.
Quite what?
With it's corporal to be with, you know, in the physical existence with beginnings and ends.
Let me ask you this question. is it possible that what we're talking about is the eternal self you've chosen and then kind of set aside? And no matter that you set it aside, life's still showing you to that eternal self.
Yeah,
and life is not showing you in any way, in any judgment, and etc. To life is not anything that happens in life is not showing you to what you are doing. Is merely a signpost along the way of what you know and sense that you are doing. And set aside.
I think I understand conceptually what you mean, but I don't think I can relate that through to the subject of the dog and wanting to train the dog.
Is it possible that we can say you are living corporeal, but you know or sense eternal?
Yes, we can say that.
Is it possible that then if somebody had that struggle, their life today might be a cancer upon their eternal self?
A cancer upon the eternal self.
Don't take that so literally as it sounds, but the cancer is on them because they're living this dichotomy of what they sense and know really, but can't maybe express, and sense and know they're living something else that's really, really, really not what they want to live.
Okay. they sense they're living it, but they sense that it's really, really not what they want to live.
And that conflict could then be their beliefs out of control, which could be cancerous.
Yeah.
Could that lead to a situation wherein, let's say, somebody didn't have their heart into their life anymore?
Yeah, I think that seems to follow, yes.
And could we deal with that in the sense of saying that any illness in your body shows that conflict?
Yeah, we could say that. Yep, any illness.
And is it possible that then your dreams and events in your life are actually referring to the eternal self of yourself that you truly desire to live, but have, for one reason or another, forsaken?
I think that all follows, yes.
Or it may be that you haven't forsaken it so much as you have denied it.
Denied it, misinterpreted it, misunderstood it. Does it matter? I'm simply not living it and struggling with it in one way or another.
You may be living it by default, but you may then, in that regard, not be living it the way you choose or want to live it.
Who's the one that may not be living it the way they want to live it?
You, Patrick.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
And do you then conceive of the possibility that you, Patrick, in a body would impose or inflict that problem on your body?
Oh, yeah, I can see that. That seems quite natural, yes.
It's like the old song, you always hurt the one you love. Or is that too old for everybody listening in? And so you impose that upon your physical, that struggle upon your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
This is the eternal nature of the descriptionary. Descriptionary shows you to the details of the thing, but it then shows you that there is a conflict between what you are physically living and what it is you truly desire to live.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? Is it really possible for you to consider that how you want to live eternally is your choice only?
It's very possible to consider that it is my choice only.
And does not have, then, in this regard, a struggle with your physical life, and if you get it right, then that's okay, you'll have eternal life.
No, I seem to pick up a perspective that concern just isn't there anymore, fades away.
Then is it possible that you have already chosen the self and life that you would be the way, let's put it that way, the way that you and your life, you would want them to be and live eternally?
You mean in the midst of all my struggle, it's still, that's what I want to live?
It's always been there. What if it's always been there and your struggles are you've denied it to the point that you're now trying to rediscover that?
Yeah, that I get that. Yes, that's for sure.
In other words, in this conversation, you can't have a sense of your eternal self and life unless you have, from this discussion, chosen a self and life.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there was, in the absence of having made the choice, it seems there would be no struggle.
So, you couldn't even have that conflict if you had not yet made that choice.
Correct.
So, in preparing for awakening your eternal self actively in your life, the presumption of that is that there is an eternal self already chosen, that you have chosen, that you, even you, are struggling against.
That seems quite fundamental, yes.
And that your, could it be then that your, with that when you set goals, you're trying to then create an eternal self that you have already created?
I'm trying to get there from here and don't even know that I'm already here.
Yeah, but be careful of that. But you got to be careful of that. But yes, that's kind of like when I've said, set your goals, okay, then wear your goals and be your goals. So then in the same way, set your eternal self and then be your eternal self in the same way. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Is it possible that you have to set an eternal self in every lifetime?
Is it possible?
Yeah, for you to understand that you would have to set an eternal self in every lifetime.
That's a bit of a puzzle. I would have thought that as I came alive, that choice had already been made.
Well, let's assume for the moment that if it has been made, it's immaterial. Allow me that.
Ah. Are we talking then that it must be awarefully declared in every lifetime?
That it what?
That it must be awarefully declared in every lifetime?
Okay, yes.
That it, rather than just defaulting it through.
Now.
No, I'm not sure I understand.
Okay, well, I was going to go to an illustration here. Here, I want you to do this for me, Patrick. We've spent an hour and a half on this, so I'm not going to read the introduction. I want you to read number one. And when you read number one, I want you to consider everything that we have just said in the last 15 minutes and see if there's any applicability to between number one and where we left off.
Practice expansive focusing. Do not narrow your mind down to a focus that excludes. Did you say something, Rudd?
No, it was probably Simone being kicked off and kicked on.
Oh, okay. Do not narrow your mind down to a focus that excludes everything else. Practice being so focused that you bring other matters, such as your eternal self and infinite minding, to you in the form and nature of your focus. For in awakening your eternal self, you are to bring everything to you as your eternal self, which you can certainly winnow down to your eternal self as you truly desire, thus that then everything you bring to yourself in life to communion with is brought in that form and nature.
Does that, or no. How does that explain everything that we were talking about for the last 15 or 20 minutes?
Let's see. The one that really started to bring it together for me was practice being so focused that you bring other matters, such as your eternal self and infinite minding, to you in the form and nature of your focus. So I think that talks to your question, is it possible that you have to have a focus in every lifetime? I think it's in the act of bringing all matters to myself in the form and nature of how I focus in. I create it, do I not? By the way in which in the form and nature of my focus. And the focus, as you this suggests, is a focus that excludes nothing.
What you just did is you changed the word focus to a verb. When you said, it's how I focus it.
Rather than it being the noun.
So, can you understand that? Do not narrow your mind down to a focus of Pat that excludes everything else. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Practice being so focused that you bring other matters, such as your eternal self and infinite minding, to you in the form and nature of your focus. Not the way you focus it. In the form and nature of your focus.
Well, earlier in that set of words, it says practice being so focused. And that seemed to be then that being focused that I bring all matters to myself.
You bring nothing to yourself. Is it possible that you are so focused on Patrick that you exclude everything else?
Oh, that's entirely possible.
Well, that's the first sentence here.
Yes. And I say that you ask us to suggest to us that we practice being so focused that I bring other matters, such as my eternal self and infinite minding, to me in the form and nature of my focus.
How do you do that? How does training the dog, if you're focused on that, bring your eternal self to you?
If I focus only on training a dog, that's a narrow Patrick focus, is that not? If I only think of the outcome, the objective of training the dog, that's a narrow Patrick focus, is it not?
Let's assume that. So what other choice do you have?
Well, the suggestion here is that I can expand my focus.
How? Forget what it says there. What are you going to do? If my focus of my life is on discovering how the universe works and showing others, is it possible in being and living in that way, no matter what I am doing, even training a dog, that in that I am showing that aspect of my how the universe works?
That's entirely possible, yes.
No, you're hiding between the entirely possible. I want more participation than that.
I'm seeing that, and then what has come to mind here is that what I may be missing in the form of my focus, and you insisted on it being a noun and not a verb, my focus is my declaration. Is that not true?
Okay. Could you...
I will know all matters, bring all matters to me in the form of that focus.
Could you picture for a moment sands going through an hourglass?
Oh, sands going through an hourglass? Yes, I can see that, an image of that.
Could you assume for the moment that the sand is like all the data and information of the universe?
Okay, and
that's,
yes?
Is it possible for you to conceive of that, your focus, like the narrowing of the glass, brings and makes sense of all the data of the universe in that way?
Yes. All the data of the data in the universe is in the top half hopper of the hourglass.
And it comes to you only and makes sense only through your focus.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
So, can your focus be short-term, what you're doing, or long-term, who you are?
Could be either, and that's how I will see it and understand it, or think I understand.
So, if your long-term focus is of who you are, then what you're doing is merely a signpost along the way.
Oh, okay, yes.
And in that case, if who you are, then what you're doing in training the dog is merely a signpost along the way.
Yeah, got it, I think, yes.
And so you can change the focus and gain the information. This is true listening, by the way. You can change the focus, but the focus itself is only a signpost along the way.
Even the focus.
Even the focus is only a signpost along the way.
Then that is a very long view.
But isn't that the point?
Yes.
I mean, do you really care about 66 years, or however old, it's somewhere around in that, isn't it?
Yeah, close.
Do those 66 years mean much in the nature of, what, 14 billion years, 21 billion years?
No, it's just a grain of sand in the ocean kind of relationship.
It's a grain of sand in the hourglass of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then, what?
Well, that seems to suggest or expand the nature of how I might think about the question about you had about choosing anew in each lifetime, since it's, even the focus itself is a signpost along the way.
No. Listen very carefully. Even that choosing and everything you do is only a signpost along the way.
Say that again?
Ah, yes. Okay. All of it. Yes.
So any goal you set for yourself in life is only a signpost along the way of who you are, and what is going on, or what you're living, or whatever.
No matter what, yes.
Is it possible that as, let's say, you choose to do along the way as a signpost to see and know or choose your eternal self, that you are in of the same way only choosing yourself?
I think I get that. You're saying in choosing the signpost, I am in fact only choosing myself.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now, wait now. You may not like it so well. If I say, change the words around now and get rid of the pronouns for a minute. Pat chooses masters in each lifetime. That masters then is not the same. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah.
If I then say, and this is what I said a minute ago, if Pat chooses masters in every lifetime, then Pat does not continue.
That seems pretty self-evident, and that's strangely from my past, that sounds pretty okay.
So, you are in creating masters, your eternal self, you are in that creating the personal self, Pat, that created masters.
Yeah, we're in that another way of saying the self-replicating...
Particle
that replicates the self that replicates its original self.
Correct. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's pretty damn great.
Then Pat doesn't continue anymore. It's okay for masters not to continue, but I brought it back and said, okay, is it all right for Pat not to continue?
Well, I can tell you of late that I have more anxiety about death than I thought I had. So, is it okay conceptually what you're talking about? Yep. As I age and things happen, become the reality of Pat not continuing becomes more real, and I have an experience that's kind of a mixture of excitement and anxiety at the same time.
Well, let me ask you this question. Is it possible that you do not have any anxiety about your continuing? None. Zip. Zilch.
Hmm. Are you talking to Patrick again, still?
Oh, you have to figure that out. I went back to pronouns so you wouldn't know. Are you willing to concede the possibility that you do not have an anxiety about not continuing?
Yeah, that's entirely possible. That explains some stuff.
Is it possible that you could say at a certain time that you are aware of yourself personally, no, aware of yourself as an eternal being?
I think that's absolutely true.
And that you've chosen that and you know that and you're aware of that.
There are times when that's very clear.
Then only is it possible then that you are only anxious that your body will not continue.
Yes, that's entirely possible. That's more than possible.
Is it possible then that it ain't you that you're worried about, or grieving over, it's the loss of the possible loss of your body?
I think that's very true.
What if this is possible? What if you right now started to embody fully your eternal self? Would you care about your body?
I don't think I would care.
Would it be a fear or a doubt or uncertainty?
No, there would not be.
Would there be then the struggle, the conflict, and etc.? It is only the attachment to your physical body that is of great concern.
Yeah, it's just yes, it is the attachment, long-term habit, or well, I guess in the scale of things, not that long-term.
So the question is, what if you started to embody your eternal self now? Then would it not be then that your physical body would be of no real concern?
I think that's entirely possible, more than possible. That's highly desirable.
So if you embodied masters, which is you, in the way and the manner in which you live today, and you chose the way you would be and live eternally, that in that, then, that when you did not have your material body per se, you would have the embodiment of masters, which ain't you.
Absolutely. Who is me, right?
It's you, but it ain't you. You,
oh, yeah.
You are Pat, but you're not really Pat. Is this okay?
Yeah, this is very okay.
Is it possible then that your attachment to your body gives you a false sense of yourself?
Oh, more than possible. I think that's getting very, very clear.
But is it also possible that your attachment to your body enabled you to embody yourself as masters?
Yeah, it's something that wouldn't be possible without the body as a kind of a carrier here.
So, we could say you would exist, but you're not alive without a body. With a body, you're alive. Then you can embody masters in that. And though it's a body of a different form, which we can get into some other time at this point, then you have embodied masters, and you still have a body of essentially the same ilk. Is that okay?
Yes, that's absolutely fine. That's great.
Is it possible that if you don't embody masters, which is by a declaration of this is the way that I would choose to live eternally, if you don't embody masters, you have only death to fear?
Oh, that's more than possible. That's what's staring in the face then.
And that knowingly living your eternal self embodied puts that to rest.
It does.
Or can. Or you know, will do that if you're willing to set that to rest.
Of course, yes.
Somebody
wow.
Did somebody say something?
I just said wow.
Oh, okay. So now you're beginning to see number one. Now, these practices are not, N-O-T, these practices are not a system for doing anything. Is that okay?
I'm glad you said that.
In other words,
I could turn it
into... Yeah, don't turn it into a system. If you do this, thus, therefore, then. No, you can do all of this. And there is no this, thus, therefore, then. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just pausing here and looking at the title of the pericope again. And yeah, that's quite okay.
what I don't want you to do is like I've had a lot of people do before in this and other stuff. Say, it's like, for instance, when I have said, take everything that I say in words and transfigure that to pictures, what does that sentence mean to you?
The sentence of don't take this as a system?
No, the sentence of what does the sentence mean when I say everything I say, I want you to transfigure that to pictures. What does that say?
The dog just barked at cats, you see. It says, listen through images.
And it I didn't ask you consequences. What does it say?
That it says I function in images.
No, it says do it. What?
It says do it?
Do it. D-O-I-T. Do it. Do it. Transfer everything I say or transfigure everything I say to images says you do it.
That's what it says. When you say transfer, then do it.
Does it say, well, nothing comes? Does it say, I don't get no images? Doesn't it say, you do it. Create the images. Does it say, sit around with your thumb up your coley hole and wait until you get an image?
No, I don't see that.
It says, do it. Doesn't it?
It sure does.
And then everybody says to me, well, I didn't get an image. Make one up. Is this okay?
Yep. And you've often said, if there's a gap, ask a question. Fill your image.
So, all I'm suggesting here is that you do these practices. Do it. Don't sit around and wait for something to come.
Well, didn't you have a saying once? Never mind. Nope.
If you said to yourself, all right, I'm practicing expansive focusing. No matter what I'm doing, what will come is my eternal self. Do you suppose that in one form or another, eternal self would come?
I would think yes.
But this is only a practice. This is that you have to do it because we're saying here then that you bring your eternal self to yourself.
Doing it.
By doing it. And the practice of all of this then is to, even from 1 through 44 or whatever there is in here, is expansive focusing. In one form or another, that's what it's all about.
So it's no mistake, that's what number one is about.
That's because number one, in a sense, we could say, covers it all. But if you don't understand that, maybe you understand 27 or 42 or 33. Do any and all of these things. I wrote you an email. Did you get it?
The one about my client, the candidate? Yes, I got it.
Yes. Is that expansive focusing, or in your conversation to me on Sunday, were you narrowing the focusing down?
Oh, I certainly was, yeah.
So then you understand, or that's an example of expansive focusing.
Yes. Yes, I do. Particularly after tonight's conversation.
All right. So when you do this, you're not doing these things and say, okay, well, I've done all the right stuff. Now come to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Can you do this because your eternal self is what you truly desire?
Yes, we can do that.
And is it possible that you're willing to say, I not only want my eternal self, I want to embody my eternal self in the way and the manner in which I choose to be and live eternally?
That's entirely possible. More than possible. Desirable. It goes beyond any kind of want.
So then what you're saying, if I understand that, this isn't causing it. This is allowing yourself to express what you have already created.
That's exactly it.
It allows you to see what you have already created.
Could it be that there's 44 sets of signposts here that shows me what I have already chosen?
Or maybe, if I understand this correct, there are very few signposts on the left side of the road.
I don't have an image there. I see the left-hand side of the road, and I know that most signs on the road are on the right, if not all.
So then it ain't what you don't want on the left side of the road that you have to then at least be looking in the right where.
Aha! Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is it possible then that when we say practice expansive focusing, it's to get you to focus on the signpost.
Karen just about knocked things over. Sorry.
Is that okay?
That's okay.
All right. Well, we got a late start because we didn't get the mic to work, and we got another mic to work. So, plus we have a recorder going. But we'll quit on time. Next week, we'll take up flow your thoughts as images. Could you understand that in flowing your thoughts as images of an eternal self, you are embodying your eternal self in that imaged way?
Yeah. I'm giving it form with the images.
And so then, well, we got a few minutes. I'll read this. When your mind is filled with thoughts, do not stop them or slow them down. According to Buddhism, that's monkey mind, and you're supposed to calm yourself, slow yourself down, etc. I'm saying expand them until you are breathless. Is it possible that a declarative question, well, couldn't we do this, or we could do that, or what about all of this? If you listen to it, it sounds like monkey mind, but if you really, really, really listen, there is an expression of yourself as an eternal being in all of that.
I think that's absolutely true.
Well, we'll get into that next week in this regard. So, when you're ending your thoughts, you are cutting off your eternal self.
Yeah, we had a long conversation about that yesterday for me anyway, and I think I see that.
Okay, when you can't I can't think of an answer, or can't, any time of can't think of an answer or stopping, you have just like that's stopping the sands flowing through the hourglass. What you should do at the most time when you can't think of an answer is create an answer to think. Okay.
I think that makes so much.
All right. We'll leave it there then for now. Good night for all.
Good night. Thank you. Good night. Thank you very much.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.